And so the message today is called Be the Ball. I don't know if any of you remember the movie Ants, and they had to be the ball. Remember, they had to think about the ball because the ball was that thing that they would use to construct their home and to take care of things and things like that. And this came to me humorously, I believe, by the Holy Spirit. Just, I'm going to talk to you about something today that I believe that is powerful for the kingdom of God. And in the midst of this, it's time that we take up our place and be the ball. Amen. Because God wants to get some things rolling. And so we're going back to our series for the year called Full of the Spirit. And I'm excited to get back here because we kind of left you hanging back on April 10th is the last time that we spoke a message in this. And so let's just talk about this, talking about being full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit, this has been and still is our theme for the year of 2022. I got some ideas of where we're headed in 2023, but I really haven't committed them to prayer yet, so I don't have a theme for next year yet. I usually do that through the month of October and get things set for the next year. But God is doing something in our church, amen? Something powerfully God is working in our church. This year we've been looking at the church that is moving by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we've been looking at. It is that which the church was born in and by. The church was born in and by the Holy Spirit. Jesus resurrects from the dead. He says to his disciples as he breathes on them, coming out of the garden tomb, receive the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit the day of Pentecost. And on that day, the New Testament church was born. The church of Jesus Christ was born. And that's how it came about. And so Jesus told his disciples then, take the gospel into the whole world. But he tells them to pause for just a little bit before they do, because he says he was going to give them the power to do so. And we've heard this many times because it is one of our major teachings in OSL. Pastor Jerry says it all the time. Don't go with just a story. Go with the power. Go in the power to tell the story, but also do what the story talks about. So if Jesus said that he raised people from the dead, then we need to go forth as disciples to have this power and belief and strength to raise people from the dead, to see people healed, blind eyes opened, stopped ears unstopped, the mute speaking, and all kinds of cancers healed, and those types of things. People set free. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is also a promise that is totally for us today, church. That was spoken over his disciples. That was spoken over this New Testament church. I believe that we are a remnant of the New Testament church, the way we believe and the way that we do things and the way that we follow Jesus. It's what the New Testament church did. We need to get a little more freer and responsive to the Holy Spirit in many ways that the New Testament church was, but I believe that's coming. I believe that in these end days when persecutions are ramping up and when things are happening, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to set fire to his church, and the church is going to burn so brightly, and the church is going to burn so powerfully that we are going to affect this world again. Amen? So we do have power, and God's going to give the church a greater power in these days. Our scripture for the year is Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So we see that is full of the Spirit is because the people in the church are full of the Spirit. We know that because we also understand that the church is the people. Amen? This is a church building, but this building is just a building. It could be used for anything. I mean, I've seen churches sold for all kinds of different things. So it's not the building that is the church. It's the building where the church meets. It's the building where the church gathers. That's what this is all about. So know that. Amen? A church full of people. Full of the Spirit is seeing, these are some of the messages we talked about. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but it's been a long time since we talked about it. A church full of people full of the Spirit is a church that is seeing their community changed by the gospel and the power of God. The power of God is seen through the powerful word that they preach, God's word. It is a word that is alive. It is a word that is God-breathed. It is a word that is relevant. It is a word that is speaking loudly and clearly into the lives of the people. They see things the way that God sees them. They have a clear vision and a clear understanding of biblical and heavenly things. And that brings a clearer vision to what is going on in the world around us, and a stronger way to pray, a stronger way to combat the evil that's around us, and a wisdom in what to do, what to say, and how to be involved in the processes. They are together. It is a unified church. The church that is full of people, full of the Holy Spirit, is a unified church. They're unified in calling. They're unified in their sonship and their daughtership, in their childhood of God. And they're unified in their worship. They know their calling. They understand that God has placed them here for, what God has placed them here for, and how they get it done. It is a church that is gifted because the giftings of the people who are in it. And I tell you this all the time, especially when we take in new members. I tell you this. The church is being added to. There's giftings that are being added. There's a level of faith that's being added. Our faith is being increased. Our ability to touch the community is being increased. And so we have these giftings, and we have in each and every one of us that are, I have giftings, you have giftings. We bring those together, and the church is so much more powerful in the Holy Spirit. And then we turned our attention towards the spiritual gifts of the church. These are the gifts that empower the church so that the church can be Jesus on earth. There's three types of spiritual gifts. Jesus promised his disciples and us this over in John chapter 14, 12 to 17. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And so Jesus promised his disciples, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would give these gifts to empower the church, to empower the people on earth to be the people that God had called them to be. And so the first gifts that he gave to the church, are given through the Holy Spirit, and they are placement on this earth, and they are given in the church. And they're working on our behalf. And now we've already looked at the ministry gifts, but let me go back to them so you understand what I'm talking about. They are those called out within the body to train up the body and prepare the body of the church for their task. They are the apostles, they are the prophets, they are the evangelists, they are the pastors, and they are the teachers. The fivefold ministry, okay, that work together to raise up the body. This is why it's important. You know, some people have asked me, well, Pastor, why do we have guest speakers? And, you know, why couldn't you just speak all the time? I could. But how many know you need the apostle to come in? How many know you need the prophet to come in? You need the teacher to come in, okay? And I'm a preacher. I preach. I try teaching on Wednesday nights sometimes. It still becomes preaching because that's just the gifting that God has placed in me. I can teach, but it always becomes preaching anyway. So my teaching is preaching, all right? It's just the way it is, but that's how I move. Now, what we said in that message about this fivefold ministry is that they could not be as effective if they didn't have those who would come alongside them. Amen. Listen to what they are teaching. Apply what they are preaching into their hearts. Listen to the words of prophecy and then raise up their ministry in the body of the church to assist those in their calling. Does that make sense? See, that's where all of you come in. That's where everybody in the church comes in. And for that, we have the gift of the manifestation of the Spirit. So we have the fivefold gifts to the church. Okay, the gifts. We went through those. And then we have these gifts of the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, we talked about word of knowledge. We talked about word of wisdom. That was back on April 10th. You can find the message online. And we covered these way back in April, but I just want to touch on them real quick. There is also prophecy. There is faith. There is healings. There is miracles. There is discerning of spirits. There are tongues, and then there are interpretation of tongues. And we find these over in 1 Corinthians 12. That's where I want you to be today. 1 Corinthians 12, looking at verses 1 to 11. "Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, I cannot go back to that message April 10th because we don't have enough time, but let me just say this. These are gifts that are giving to the body, okay? You may not operate in this gift all the time. You may operate it in at one time, and then somebody else in the church may operate in the same gift the next time because they aren't our gifts, okay? We'll talk about our gifts coming up. This is the manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is moving in the church, he will move upon human flesh as he wills, Paul says here, to bring these gifts about. So you can't walk around and say, well, you could say, my spiritual gift is prophecy, because that is one. Prophecy is, and I'll talk about this, goes all three gifts, all three types of gifts. But these are not something we lay claim to. These are something that you're in church, the Holy Spirit moves upon you, and boom, you begin to give a word of knowledge. You begin to give a word of wisdom. You begin to move in healing. You begin to move in prophecy. And it just happens. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, when that job is done, he lifts off of you that manifestation, and you're like, wow, it's pretty amazing. Now, the average church member today is afraid of these things. What I'm trying to teach you is don't be afraid of these things, because the church is the church when these things are activated and moving. And so we get a little weirded out. We get a little crazy sometimes. And so we don't, listen, let God use you. I believe if you go back to that message, that was my main point, was let God use you. Be open to it. I don't have time to go back there. I wish I could. I thought maybe I should just speak that message again. But then I thought, nah, it's online. Anybody can go back and get it. Anybody can go back and listen to it. I want to move on because we don't have a lot of time this year to finish up. And I want to make sure that we do. And so back in April, we covered word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Today, I want to look at the gifts of prophecy and faith, but I'm smart enough to know we're not going to get past prophecy. Okay, so faith next week, I'm sure. But I have it here if we need to, but I just know we're going to run out of time. So we're going to focus on the gift of prophecy. So let's look at it. The gift of prophecy. This is the only gift, that is included in all three categories of spiritual gifts. Ministry gifts, there's a prophet, right? The pastor will move in prophecy. Some of the teachers will move in prophecy. So it's there. The manifestation gifts, prophecy, he says it right here. And then our own gifts that are giving to us that we move in, not because the Holy Spirit just came upon us in service, but they are our own gifts, then we will see those. So let me show you. In the ministry gifts, we see one named the prophet. We will see in our next section in series when we look at the motivational gifts, your gift, a special gift that God has placed in you, that there is a gift of prophecy. And we see here in this manifestation of the Holy Spirit upon us that there is prophecy in the church, in the corporate church. What is prophecy? It is a direct word from the Lord that God uses to build up others and further his will in his people. That's what the manifestation gift of prophecy is. So we're going through our service, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit moves upon somebody and says, hey, while you were reading your word this week, I told you to write this down. Now, share that with sister so-and-so in the church. Share that with brother so-and-so in the church. Or ask the pastor if you can share that now in the service, because I have a prophetic word for my people. That's the gift of prophecy. This is the Holy Spirit coming upon one of us in the body and giving them a word that will instruct, that will build up, and that will bring another person to the place that God wants them to be or needs them to be. That's the gift of prophecy. Now, I need to say something. This is not a new word that needs to be added to the Bible. In the Old Testament, the prophet, they moved in prophecy. Their prophecy was foretelling. They told the future. It was to be added to the word. It was to become canon of the word. It was to be for us to read and us to know, because it would be a prophet. It would be a prophecy that would extend through the church until the day that Jesus returns. There is no new word to be written in the Bible. Understand that? There's nothing that God is going to raise up in a church and somebody's going to say, oh, you know what? God made a mistake, and so we're going to take out the last three chapters of Matthew. No. This is sealed, this is done, this is accomplished. And so if a prophet stands up and says, I've got something new from the Lord, we know they're not a prophet. If the spirit of manifestation gives a gift of prophecy in the church and they say something that is contrary to the word of God, we know that it's not prophecy of God. Make sense? Okay, nothing's going to be added to this. This is finished. This is accomplished. This is done. OSL level 3, if you want to know how that's been done and what it means, you can take that at another time. Okay? So it is not a new word that God brings to add to his Bible, but it is a word confirming God's word. It is a word that brings to a person a confirmation of God's word in their lives that maybe they did not see, did not understand, could not see, could not understand, and were ignorant of, and God begins to speak into their lives, and they're like, wow, that's the Lord. Pastor Dennis Shear moves in that. Pastor Bill James moves in that when he comes, okay? You'll never hear Pastor Dennis, you'll never hear Pastor Bill James, you'll never hear anybody that I bring in going to say, oh, I've got a new word for the church. This makes Matthew obsolete. No. Then we know they're never coming back, right? That's what we know, all right? Can't happen. In other words, there are no longer prophets that will bring about any extensions of the Bible. The word of God is finished and perfect. I said that, but I wanted to say it again because it was in my notes again. But there are prophets that will speak that word in fresh and understandable words to the people of God. We've had a prophetess come years ago, and she spoke in this church, and she spoke over some of your lives, and to this day, you're still talking about that and seeing fulfillment. And you can share those with people sometime, guys, in women's group, men's group, because some of you share with me, she was right on. And she came in with her husband, if you remember, and they spoke words over people's lives and over this church. That's where we got the prophecy that there's going to be a building on this ground. Somehow a connection in New York, doesn't say city, New York, that somehow the money's going to be given so that we can erect this building for our community. Listen, that was already on my heart. That was confirmation. I never talked to her, told her that, anything. That was just a God moved on her life. Praise God. Prophecy is God's mouthpiece to his church. Anybody that's moving in the manifestational gift of prophecy, they are speaking God's words to the church. Now, it is strange that prophecy is the one gift that Paul says everyone should desire, and yet it is the one gift that most people in the church steer away from. Why would that be? I'll tell you why it is. Because we don't understand it. We don't understand how it works. We're afraid of it. We've seen it abused. We'll talk about that at the end of the message today. We are afraid to speak God's word to people because maybe we will get it wrong and mess something up. I've been there in that place. I understand that. We become much like the people of Israel that when they came to the mountain of God and they're invited to the mountain of God, what do they say? Oh, Moses, thunders and lightnings and all kinds of weird sounds and earthquakes. Moses, you go to the mountain, you get what God says, and then come back and tell us about it. Nobody wanted to hear God for themselves. See, I think it should be one of the most used gifts in the church. Paul says it is the gift to be desired, even over speaking in tongues. Over in 1 Corinthians 14, 1-5, he says this, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. You want to underline that. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself because nobody knows what he's speaking. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive the edification. And then he makes the point down in verse 39, again, chapter 14. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. The word for prophecy in the Hebrews, means to flow forth. And the picture that I get and the picture that word develops is a bubbling of a fountain. Have you ever been to the source of a fountain? I've been to, Yellowstone, right? Where the Old Faithful is? Yeah, it is Yellowstone. I've been there as a child, and I got to see Old Faithful go up in the air. It was just an amazing thing. I've been to places where springs bubble up out of the earth. And so that's what this word prophecy means. It means there's a bubbling, there's an activity, there's a flow. Let's go back to flow, because that's a word that we've been using, the flow of the Spirit, the flow of our lives, what God wants to do in our lives. When there is a message in tongues, because Paul compares these two, he compares speaking in tongues and interpretation with the gift of prophecy, because they're so close in meaning. When there's a message in tongues and there's an interpretation, God has truly spoken to his people. We know that. But with prophecy, there can be no confusion because it is one of us bringing God's word out in our language. There doesn't need to be an interpretation. There doesn't need to be a sense of, I wonder if that person is really interpreting what that person brought out. No, this person speaks it in English or Spanish or whatever the language is of the house. This person speaks it out. The word of God is given in a language that everybody can understand, and the church is edified. The church is built up. Doesn't always happen when there's a message in tongues. Now, we're not going to despise messages in tongues, but we are going to believe that when, and that's another teaching in the future, that when there is a message in tongues, that God will also move upon somebody for the interpretation. Because Paul says otherwise there's confusion, and I get that, okay? But with prophecy, there can be no confusion. Because God is speaking in a known and intelligible and understood language. A pastor can move in prophecy here and there, but keep this in mind. The sermon can be prophetic, but most of the time the sermon is really a report on what the Word of God says, right? My kids in school, I always tell them when they have to write a paragraph or two paragraphs or three paragraphs, they're like, man, what am I ever going to use this for? I'm like, trust me, you'll use it. I said, not everybody's going to use it, but I said, I use it every week. I write a 2,600-word report every week for you. Right? I'm giving you what the Holy Spirit lays upon my heart from the Word of God, and I'm reporting to you in our language what the Bible says. Could that be prophetic? Yes, it could be. It probably most of the time is because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. But a person who is moving in prophecy is not sharing their thoughts on what God's Word says. They are sharing God's thoughts on what His Word says. That's the big difference. Now, I pray that every pastor is sharing God's thoughts on what the Word of God says. But how many know we can get lost in that sometimes? And even myself, we bring out our own thoughts of what we think God's Word says and things like that. So we got to be careful of that. But there is a big difference. I want you to see that. Also keep in mind that these manifestation gifts are given to the body and used in the body as the Spirit wills to do. So it's not always going to be the pastor. So the person who is moving in the manifestation gift of prophecy is not a prophet. Let's not get them confused, because that can be confusing. The gift of prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Those three things. The one who is the prophet gives revelation. Let me break it down a little bit more. The great prophet of today would be the Lord's own Holy Spirit. Okay, now, are there prophets? Yes, there are. Again, they're not adding to the Word of God, but they're bringing revelation to people's lives. So we know that there are prophets today. They aren't the same manifestation. That's not manifestation. Don't let me use that word because that'll get you confused. They are not the same position of what the Old Testament prophets were. They are not that, okay? Because they do not bring a new word. They bring God's word out. So without confusion, let me break this down. The prophet foretells. Let me say it this way. The prophet foretells. In other words, they speak and predict the future. So a prophet could come in and tell us, and most of the time when that prophetess came in, this is what she did. She told us about future events in our lives. She didn't tell us a new word from God. She told us those things confirming God's word, but told us what was going to take place in our lives. And many of you have come back and said, Pastor, it came to pass. Well, sure it did. I believed she was here only because I had reference on her and I knew that she was a real prophetess of God. I understood that. Okay? And so they predict the future. The one moving in prophecy doesn't foretell. The one moving in prophecy foretells. Foretells. In other words, they tell forth truths. They take the truth of the word and they speak it forth. Does that make sense? And so they give you words based on your words for your life based on what God has already spoken, but they will be words that will confirm. Some of you come to me and say, Pastor, I believe God's speaking to me this, this, or this. And what will I tell you? I say, pray for confirmation. Don't throw a fleece down. We don't believe in fleeces. We know God will answer those if he's put on the spot, but we don't believe in that. But ask God to confirm it. First of all, ask him to confirm it from his word. And then second of all, ask him to confirm it by the mouth of somebody else. And who's that mouth going to be? It's going to be somebody moving in prophecy. They're going to come to you and say, you know, Brother Tim, I was praying for you the other day, and because I knew you'd be going through this thing that God told me. I was praying for you, and God told me to tell you this. Prophecy. And Timmy's like, God's already spoken that to me. That's confirmation. That means God's going to bring it about. You see how it works? Prophets foretell, prophecy foretells. They teach mankind about God's will. They teach mankind about his character. So here's what I'm saying. Don't shy away, church, from the manifestation of the Holy Spirit upon us in this room. We need that. We need these gifts to flow. We need these manifestations to flow. Because when it's flowing, especially the gift of prophecy, the church today is edified. When the one whom the Holy Spirit is moving upon in prophecy allows him to do so, there is moral instruction. Now, I need you to know, prophecy is never negative, but prophecy does bring moral instruction. Is it Acts 14? Ananias and Sapphira. Okay, who is it? John? I'm sorry, guys, I didn't study this. It just came to my mind. I forget who the disciple is. Okay, but anyway, Ananias and Sapphira come, and they weren't made to do this. Everybody was giving of their finances. They were selling their lands. They were selling things. They were putting it all in a general pot, and that pot was being distributed among the church as was needed. Okay, Ananias and Sapphira sold a parcel of land. They came and lied to the Holy Spirit and said that they sold it for so much, and they only gave a percentage of what they sold it for. They had sold it for a lot more. It's Peter, John, I don't know who it is. Peter, thank you. So Peter looks Ananias in the eye, and he says, Ananias, are you sure you want to do this? See, this is prophecy in action. There was a moral instruction. Ananias, you sure you want to say this? Are you sure that's all you sold the house for? That's it. Boom, he's dead. Right? Dies. They wheel him out. They bury him. They don't even get to bury him. His wife comes in, and Peter, under prophecy again, says to her, Sapphira, Ananias said you sold the ground for this much. Is that true? Yeah. Boom, she's dead. And they carry her out. Why? It wasn't that Peter was bringing a prophecy of death against him. Prophecy doesn't move in that way. Prophecy is a moral instruction. They had the chance to repent. They had the chance to come up and say, yeah, no, we didn't sell it for that. We sold it for this, and here it is. We're going to give it to the church. See what I'm saying? So prophecy, if it's not exhorting, if it's not building up, if it's not comforting, it is not the gift of prophecy. Even in the Ananias and Sapphira story, those two could have changed their lives. There was moral instruction there through prophecy, but they chose to lie to the Holy Spirit. And how many know when you lie to God, you're dead? Right? Doesn't work. There's nothing you can do. So when this is moving, there's moral instruction. The people or person are improved morally. They're improved intellectually in the spiritual things of the word. This is a way to change up someone's spirit, charge up spiritual battery. People need spiritual batteries charged. We have a world that tears us down. We have a job that just, everybody's at us and things are going on. And so we come into the church on Sundays and we're a mess because the week has been a mess. And so they need their spiritual batteries charged. And then God moves with the manifestation gift on somebody in this church, a prophecy, and they go to that person, they speak in front of the church, and they say, boom, 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 boom. And it's like instant charge. Instant charge. It strengthens them, and it imparts the truth of God's word into their spirit. So the church today is edified. Secondly, the people of God are exhorted. Direction is given from God. Someone is encouraged or urged to do something. Right? The church is together and they're meeting, they're praising God, they're glorifying God. And all of a sudden, through prophecy, the spirit talks manifestation over one of the prophets. Again, I didn't look at these stories. I'm sorry. They're just coming to me. And all of a sudden, God moves on the elders of the church, whoever it was. And they say, set apart Paul and Silas or Paul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry. How did they know that? Word of prophecy. Right? So they take Paul and Barnabas, they lay hands upon them, they anoint them, and they commission them to the job to go to the Gentiles. That's how prophecy works. They were encouraged. There was a word of God comes forth. There's direction given from God. Someone's encouraged or urged to do something. People begin to step up. People receive direction. And then lastly, the person is comforted. People's minds, and more importantly, their hearts are put at ease. Griefs and distresses are alleviated. People are consoled. And the freedom of God is enacted in someone's life through the manifestation gift of the Spirit called prophecy. We need these things in the people of God, church. We need these things in this church, church. So please don't hold back in our meetings. Listen, if you need to come up to me during a service and catch me, you know, if I'm singing or worshiping, got my hands up, come to me and let me know, hey, pastor, I think the Lord's given me a word. And I might ask you, what is he telling you to say? Because see, I'm the prophet of the house at that moment, and the spirit is subject to the prophet. And you tell me what it says, I'm like, oh yeah, you need to share that. Oh my gosh. Or I might say to you, you know what? I think God's speaking to you. You know, trust that as your pastor, I will lead and guide you in these, that we can grow in these things, and that we can be a church that sees these things in actions. So don't be afraid to come and say, Pastor, I believe God's telling, you know, I'll work with you. And we'll see God, we'll see the Holy Spirit freed in this place to do what he wants to do in our meetings, in your workplace, in your community, and in your home. Now, I already know that I'm not going to be able to get to the gift of faith today. But let me close this part on prophecy with the reason why most will not allow the Holy Spirit to manifest this gift in them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 to 21. This is Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica who had some problems with the gift of prophecy. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. You see, in the church in Thessalonica, they were seeing much abuse of the gift of prophecy. Let me tell you how that happens in the church. Somebody's sitting in the seat and they've got some offenses against somebody. Somebody's sitting in the seat and they've got some hurt against somebody. Somebody's sitting in the seat and they're not real friendly with somebody. And all of a sudden they get this inkling in their heart, I need to go give her a piece of my mind. Sister, the Lord told me that he's going to deal with you harshly. That is not prophecy. That is not encouraging, uplifting, building up, doing anything that or comforting. You hear what I'm saying? Not the gift of prophecy. What that is that's your flesh using an excuse of the Holy Spirit to go and tear somebody apart. This is what was happening in the church then in Thessalonica, and this is what's happening in the churches today, and this is why people shy away from it. I would rather somebody make a mistake in our church and be trained in the right way to do things than for us to say, I don't want nothing to do with it. I would rather this become a learning experience in each and every one of our lives, that you trust me as the pastor. I'm going to be on my knees praying and saying, God, help me raise up these people to know how to move in these gifts, because we're believing for these manifestation gifts to be released in our body, because we want to see people come to their fullness. And if you'll trust me and know that I will never, ever, ever intentionally ever hurt you, that you can come to me and say, Pastor, I believe this is being said. I believe that this is something God wants me to do. And you'll trust my leadership in that. Then you know what's going to happen? And this place is going to blossom. And the Holy Spirit is going to be moving in people's lives. And there's going to be so much happening in our midst. Amen. That's what he wants to do. So Paul tells them point blank, don't despise prophesying. I know that you've seen it abused. I know that you've been hurt by it. Don't despise it. Don't stop it. Don't minimize it. Brothers and sisters, it's still being abused in our day. Don't despise it. Don't minimize it. Don't stay away from it. Ask the Lord to work in your life. We cannot allow those things that we have experienced before to stop us from yielding to the Holy Spirit when he chooses to move upon us in our lives, because it's not about us. It's about someone else being set free, someone else being encouraged, someone else being enlightened, someone else being raised up. And build up in the things of God. He will use you. He will use me. Expect it and move out in it. We need to, and what we need to do is we need to maintain or remain sensitive to his Holy Spirit. When he gives us something to speak, go speak it. I've been there. I've walked past people. I've done things. And I've said to myself, no, I've felt the Holy Spirit say this to that person. And I've not done it. And you know what? The moment is gone. Now, hopefully God sends somebody else to them, but the moment is gone. And I've known in my heart, man, I was supposed to do that. I shared with you not too long ago how finally I'm sitting in Applebee's and the Lord tells me to minister. I'm not going to go into the whole story. You heard it before. But the Lord tells me to go minister to this couple across the restaurant. And I'm tired to say to my wife, pray for me, honey. Why? I got to go say something to those people. And I was obedient to it. I shied away as much as I could, but the Holy Spirit was there. He's just tugging at my soul, heart. And I go, and you know, it was the moment that her father, brother? Somebody was dying. Sister, thank you. And I got to pray with her in the booth at Applebee's at the precise time that her sister died. She did not know her sister had died. When I went over to her and asked her, I told you I wasn't going to tell you the story, I'm telling you the story. When I went over to talk to her, I said, I'm sorry, I'm a pastor in the area. The Lord is really all over me right now and telling me I need to come and talk to you. Is there something going on? She said, my sister's dying. Later, as they're leaving the restaurant, as she walks by, she walks up to me. You were right. My sister died as you were praying for me. Praise God. What would have happened if I missed that? Now listen, it's not comfortable. Even as your pastor, I'm not comfortable now. I asked my wife. I did everything not to go to those people. Not to go. Oh, look, they got their food now. Oh, I can't go and disturb their food. I had to go. Listen, we'll blow it together and we'll grow in it together. And we'll see it happen together. Amen?
Amen.
But we need these gifts moving in our church. We need it to happen. So we remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And when he gives us something to speak, we speak it. And what it does is it builds up people in the faith of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So Paul says, the words that I spoke to you weren't my own words. They were words of the Holy Spirit. I was prophesying to you that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It built up their faith. And it will build up your faith. I walked away from that table and went, you know, not a pat on the back, but when those people walked by and that husband said to me, I'm agnostic, but you were right on. You know what that did for me? It raised my level of faith to say, next time, God, I'm not going to be so hesitant to do what you tell me to do. So how do you open yourself up? I got to close. How do you open yourself up to the manifestation of this gift of prophecy that the Holy Spirit gives? Number one, seek his guidance. You might want to write these down, three quick ways. Seek his guidance. Seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When you're reading your Bible, in your times, in your prayer closet, in your times of journaling, begin to make notes of the things that God is speaking to you. Begin to make notes of the word that God is speaking to you, because it may be for you, but more than likely it's for someone else. Apply them to your own life first, and then begin to share them with those around you whom he places in your heart. Hey, you know that word I gave you yesterday? Yeah, God, that was a great word. Man, that really blessed me. Yeah, it wasn't for you. Go share it with so-and-so. Okay, God. And do those things. You will be amazed. Don't be surprised when they tell you, wow, that's confirmation. Wow, I'd not known that. I'd not experienced that. But you know what? It makes sense to me. Secondly, you're going to have to make changes to your life. Listen to me. You're going to have to make changes to your life to give the Holy Spirit room in your daily life to move in this way. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is likened to a dove. We have doves that come to our yard. We have a bird feeder, and we have doves that come to our yard. Now, a dove, if they are in any way, spooked, thank you. If they are in any way disturbed, and I don't know how they make that noise. Is that their wings? Or, you know, they go away. You know, it's pretty wild. Because they're a gentle creature, right? That's who they're, and the Holy Spirit is likened to them. So you may need to change. Listen to me, church. If you want to be used in the manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially prophecy, you may need to change what you're watching. You may need to change what you're listening to. You may need to change what you're involved in. Because like that dove, the Holy Spirit, as gentle as he is, he will fly away. He will light off of us if we're not in a place where he feels that the job can be done or where he feels comfortable in doing the job through us. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, Jesus comes and gives the word, man. Father God falls upon us. Holy Spirit lightens upon us. Now, we know that he's in us, but he can quickly be not scared. He's not scared away. Don't get me wrong, but he knows the situations and the circumstances where he can work. And like that dove, he will leave in those situations where it's not going to work out. Maybe find somebody else. Maybe find another yard to feed in, right? Maybe find another place to do ministry in, because they're more open and they're more susceptible to the right conditions of his Holy Spirit moving. In your prayer time, ask him to reveal anything that may be standing in the way of the gift of prophecy moving in your life. And then be obedient to what he says. And then act when he tells you to. That's it. Act when he tells you to. Allow him to nudge you to action. That's at that table that day. He was nudging, man. He almost threw me out of the seat. Right? All right. Allow him to transform your mind. Allow him to transform your will and your emotions. And in so doing, you will bring a powerful gift to the church and to people's lives. How many can see we need this gift of the manifestation of prophecy moving in our church? Amen? I'm not saying we want it to happen every week. It'd be great if it did. Apparently, Paul says, listen, everybody should desire this. Everybody should be moving in this, right? I don't know. We're not going to put it on the calendar and say, okay, today's the day of prophecy. Tomorrow's the day. We're going to allow the Lord to determine in our lives what he's doing. But I do know this. God wants to use you as a trumpet. I used to play the trumpet a long time ago. Never got good at it because I never practiced like I should have. But I'll tell you what, it's a loud instrument. I used to play the trumpet. He wants to use you as a trumpet that will declare his truth, that will bring other believers into alignment with his righteousness. That's what he wants to do. Remember this, speak to him. Amen? Speak to, oh, I didn't put the rest of it in there, shoot. I was supposed to go back and mend that. Speak to him, speak about him, speak for him, because my program doesn't allow me to put so many words on a screen. I have to go back and manually edit it. Speak to him, speak for him, speak about him, speak with him. And there was one more. I'm so sorry. Praise God. He'll figure it out. All right? Don't worry about it. But those things, let's do that. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray today. I hope as we go through these gifts that we do come to a place of belief in our lives where we say, you know what? Even me, God can use. Even me. I think some of us look at the church, we say, yeah, but Sister So-and-so has been in it much longer than I have. They have a greater understanding. Brother So-and-so's established this. He's got this license. He's got this, boom, boom. No, no. God wants to make it really clear to you right now that he wants to use you in this church. And these spiritual gifts of manifestation are for each and every one of us. Don't count yourself out. Amen. Don't count yourself out. Listen, when these things are active in our church, you know what's going to happen? The church is going to become a place where people want to be because ministry is going to be taking place in their lives. People are going to be set free. People are going to hear things and know things that they've never known before. Even though they've sat in the church many, many years hearing the speaking of the word, they've not felt the speaking of the word under the unction of the Holy Spirit, the word of God. Amen? I want that in this church. I desire that. That we would be a church that is full of the Spirit. Next week, we will look at faith and maybe get into another one. We're not going to rush them. So if it takes a week for each one, then so be it. But I want to teach you, and I want to raise a bar of the Holy Spirit for this place that we would all say, I can't achieve that on my own, but I can achieve that in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And God's going to do that.